The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
With me here in our makeshift studio, I'm delighted to say, is Brianna Ní Iarmidh and Colm Muckanumra, who were both involved in From That Small Island. Now, some of you will have seen it over the summer, the four-part documentary series that was on RTE television. A feature film of same was at the Galway Flag. It was premiered, and it's going to be here, shown in New Ross tonight in St. Michael's Theatre, after a Q&A with Brianna, Colm and others. And I'm delighted to say, as I said, that they are with me here in studio. You're both very welcome. Thanks a million for coming into us.
Thanks for having us.
Brianna, can I ask you, what for people who didn't see it, even those for those who did, what story did you seek to tell with this?
Yeah, that's a good one. I suppose when we set out to tell the story, we tried to do something that had never been done before. And that is to say, tell the story of the Irish from the very beginning. Not only in Ireland, but we traced them all over the world. So basically the toings and froings, the comings and goings. So who were the first people to come to Ireland? So we looked at the prehistoric period, as they call it now, early history of prehistory, right up to the present day. So that was something that had never been done, Kieran. You know, mostly people, they talked about history. They started maybe with the coming of Christianity and the coming of writing, but they certainly wouldn't have taken in prehistory. So nowadays, particularly with all the incredible scientific techniques and the developments they've had there, you know, so we're finding new things out by the moment. So that was fascinating. You know, and we use science in a way that hasn't been used, I think, in history. Documentaries before, so it was a challenge. 10,000 years of history and 4 hours for the series and 99 minutes for the feature film, you know. So,
and to what extent were you trying to dispel maybe a simplistic view of history that some people subscribe to? You know, there was the Celts, then there was St. Patrick, then we were all Christians, and then the Normans came and there was 900 years or 800 years of occupation, and now we're here.
Yeah, it's a much more complex story, a much more interesting story actually than that. So I suppose we do dispel myths. I don't think we set out to dispel any particular myth. But as we went on, as we researched the story, and we talked to like the top experts, I mean really the top people in their field, and they're compelling. You know, people think academics are kind of boring, and it's like, oh my God, it's all. It's not. These are fascinating people. They've spent their lives, you know, delving into these subjects. And so we put them together, and I think we did a really nice job in the edit. I think our cinematography was wonderful, you know. But we did, I think we did dispel quite a number of myths. I think one of the things we did as well was to show that the Irish are not confined to this little island. You know, what do we have now? 6-7 million people maybe on the island. That's huge in comparison. I think 6 million to what it used to be when I was growing up. It was 3.5 million. 70 million people worldwide say they're Irish. Like, what on earth does that mean, you know? Some of these people have never been. So there's something about that identity, that to be Irish, you know, is something that's quite cool in many parts of the world. Although I think we see now as well, almost like a growing anti-Irish thing coming back in again, I think, in particular, perhaps because of our stance in world politics. You know, we are independent. We follow rules-based international order. So that, I think, maybe, you know, because maybe we've been also successful. We're not this poor little island anymore. You know, we stand up for our principles, I think, on the world stage. And I think we have become and developed into a very good, well-functioning democracy, with all its problems, obviously, as well.
Did it give you a sense of how to answer that question of what it means to be Irish?
I think it did, but I think that's what we were trying to tease out. What does that mean? You know, and at the end of the day, it is emotional, you know. There's this emotional pull, this emotional feel, this understanding that actually we have gone through a lot, you know. And that was one of the things, I think, when we were in the edit and we were looking, say, for example, at the Cromwellian period, 17th century.
Yeah.
Like from 1600 to 1700. My God, Ireland went through absolute hell on earth. Like we had forced transplantation. We had famine as a means of war, as a method of war. The resonances between what we were looking at in Ireland in the 17th century and what was happening in the world today really struck us. I mean, sometimes we were looking at this stuff and going, oh, my God. You know, it was actually difficult because we really did suffer as a people. And then we went off throughout the world and we helped armies and we did whatever, but we also stood up for things.
Yeah.
So, at the end of the day, I suppose, for me, it created a sense of pride in who we are, despite everything. You know, we do have values, we do have principles. Not all of us, and not all the time, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think, on the whole, I think we can be proud to be Irish.
And Colm, then, from the point of view of scoring a documentary or a feature like this, Talk me through just the mechanics of it, like where you start, who you speak to, how do you get your ideas?
Well, I suppose it starts with having a natural interest in the subject, which is kind of the most advantageous thing. So I was interested. I knew a lot of the material. But the enormity of the task is like it was four episodes, four 50-minute episodes. So that's a huge amount of bread to be buttered. And there's so much information in that you're condensing all that history and thousands of years into. So my job then was to, it necessitated a huge amount of music to facilitate the gear changes and delivering the information in such a way that you're emotionally engaged with it and to keep the viewer attached and interested, I suppose.
So I assume you're, from a musical point of view, you're trying to reflect what's happening on screen or the pace of what's happening on screen at any given time. But to what extent are you also trying to reflect the nature of the story?
Well, for sure, yeah. I mean, my job in a way is the emotion of everything and the emotional impact, because the information is kind of coming to you so fast that the music kind of, music is a great, I mean, it's like no other kind of force for bypassing kind of defenses or, whether it's kind of, it defies resistance. So it can be very effective. You know, obviously you can use it cynically or otherwise in advertising. But in this instance, I suppose my job was to kind of develop themes, because there are obviously a lot of history and events are repetitive. So you have in such a way that when you have themes, storylines, characters that are returning centuries and centuries over, it's a case of you establish a sense of security in the person engaging with the program.
And a lot of this as well is, you know, it's that experience of the diaspora and the all of the directions they traveled around the world, not just the United States, which of course is a particular focus of the Kennedy Summer School. To what extent does that experience, our place as a kind of a hub of migration, mainly outward, kind of inward at times, but mainly outward, how has that informed the evolution of Irish music?
Well, hugely, I suppose. I mean, something as basic as the banjo. I mean, the banjo is what we consider a kind of a traditional instrument, and that's come from Africa via America. And that actually originated from the dialogue, musical dialogue between African American people and very poor Irish emigrants in America. So in that you can have, or in Argentina, we were like, you know, using a charanga. So, subliminally, you're trying to kind of inform whatever is happening on the screen with something that's actually authentic. So in that, it would have included some like laments or airs or tunes that were specifically to do with Brian Boru or specifically to do with the Battle of Aughrim, and you incorporate that into the existing score. So it's in a way of kind of it just enhances the storytelling, I suppose.
One thing that that every time I look at it, this hits me, is when we have, say, Cromwell, someone who's like this kind of typical baddie, mm-hmm. or the Tudors, Henry VIII, right? Colin's score goes, dum, da, dum, da, dum, da, dum. So we're set up like this guy's not going to be.
I suppose that's the kind of recurring theme, I suppose, is conquest. Mm-hmm. And, that musically, I said about creating something that's kind of like, it's just this kind of machine, which is colonialism, and that it just consumes territory, and it's very kind of, impassive, and at the same time it has a kind of veneer of silk, and if you're at the sharp end of the sword, it's very different.
And is there a particular value then as well, Brianna, in making this now? Because say that simplistic view that I enunciated earlier about, you know, the Celts, Christians, yeah. occupation, and here we are. I mean, that view of history was born very much of kind of the Gaelic revival, I guess. That's when it maybe began to kind of to spread its tentacles, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
You do see some of the more toxic aspects of that Gaelic revival kind of repeating themselves now. I couldn't count the amount of text messages since I mentioned the word migration that have come into show that reference the native Irish. Yeah. So in that context, you know what I mean? With that word, that phrase swirling around, how important is something
like
this?
We got a bit of venom shoved in our direction because we were looking at this stuff. Like, you know, if you pick a stone, a lot of strange things crawl out from underneath it. And what it is, it's like, obviously, that whole, people hold their myths very, very close to themselves, don't they? So if you disturb that, I mean, you're disturbing a lot of deep-rooted things.
Mm.
But we have to, you know, we have to examine ourselves. We have to re-examine history. We always have to revise things. And it's not that all of that was nonsense. I mean, you know, there is obviously a story and a narrative of oppression. We were an oppressed nation. We were colonized. We fought back against colonialism, and we, in fact, influenced a lot of liberation struggles throughout the world. Mm. We influenced India, obviously. Ho Chi Minh was very influenced by what happened in 1916 and thereafter. So, you know, there are balances in this. You know, we do just demolish some of those myths, that simplistic way of looking at things, and obviously, we're certainly not all native Gaels. Do you know what I mean? That's that idea.
I don't think any of us are really at this stage.
Yeah, and there is that toxic narrative creeping in. You know, Ireland for the Irish. Who are the Irish? We're a lot. We can be a lot of different things and of very different origins.
Eamon Hoare is with us as well here in the Dunbrody Visitor Centre. He's Director of Services with Wexford County Council. And Eamon, that particular element of the kind of the diaspora experience is what's being celebrated, the transatlantic experience with the Kennedy Summer School. And it's something that New Ross very much wears on its sleeve. You know, we keep talking about Irish identity. How important is that to the identity of this part of the world?
In my opinion, it's hugely important. And people often say we've worn it out, and I'd say not at all. Only last year, I was in New York, and Catherine Rose Kennedy, the great-granddaughter of Rose Fitzgerald Kennedy, she marched with the Wexford group in the St. Patrick's Day Parade. Teddy Kennedy III, the grandson of Ted Kennedy, the senator who helped us out with the peace process, he was over last year. I actually ended up drinking 4 pints of Guinness with him. And he planted a tree in the JFK Arboretum, and his father before him planted a tree. And before he left, he said, when my kids, he hasn't any yet, but he's engaged. He said, when my kids are old enough, they'll come over to New Ross and plant a tree. And young Tommy Shriver, grandson of the great Eunice Shriver of the great Special Olympics.
Yeah.
He's coming over next year, and he's already made contact with us to bring his partner and her family to visit what they think or what they know as are the roots. So really important.
Yeah. And listen, all those Kennedys wore on their sleeve. And if you go to beside the JFK library, there's Ted Kennedy's version of the same. And in his office, the recreation of it, he has that sign for Dungannstown down the road here, you know, where you'd find the Kennedy homestead and what have you. But how do you explain, Eamon, the importance of this to some young person in New Ross who looks at that statue of JFK kind of up the keys here and kind of says, that's ancient history now. That's really ancient history to them.
It is ancient history. I have to admit, I was 6 years old when President Kennedy came. It was one of the few memories of 6 year old. Now, it could be this.
Oh, you're going to claim you met him now and he shook his hand, like about 2 million other people in New Ross that day.
not quite. But on the 50th anniversary of President Kennedy's visit, it was the year of the gathering as well.
Mm.
And we decided, why not bring the Kennedys back home? And 35 of the Kennedys, including his sister, Jean Kennedy Smith, who, as you know, was ambassador as well, his daughter, Caroline Kennedy, and, as I said, 35 members of the family, they all arrived in New Ross, and we had one of the greatest celebrations. I think it was voted the greatest gathering of all time. And people like Colm Tobin, who would be a fan of the Kennedys, turned up. Michael Flatley was there. And all these people came without a fee, didn't look for anything. They were all just delighted to be part of that. Now, there was a lot of young people turned up for that as well. And you really, really can't go any place in New Ross without a mention of the Kennedy. So still very much alive. And as I say, the younger people that turn up, they want to meet the young Irish people and the children that now live out in the farmstead. So I think it'd go on. Just one other thing. People keep asking me about Kennedy in his popularity in America. The Gallup polls, and I kind of look at them, I'm into that type of stuff. Every year a new Gallup poll comes out. President Kennedy is either first or second in popularity, and the biggest age group or widest age group is between the 19 to 25. So I think that says something about current America and, you know, the hope and inspiration that he brought to the world.
Hi, Kieran. Lovely to hear, Brianna. I thoroughly enjoyed From This Small Island. Great to see her back in New Ross as well, where she grew up. I didn't realise that.
Yeah.
Which side of the river?
This side, Key Street.
Don't want to hear anything about it. Don't want to know about it. Listen, sorry, we are almost out of time, but I know you mentioned just before you came in as well, you've kind of been honoured with this shortlist for an upcoming film festival as well.
Yeah, as you mentioned, I think in the beginning, we premiered this at the Galway Film Fla.
Yeah.
Which is an internationally renowned film festival, of course, itself. But we just heard that we're an official selection for the Newport Beach Film Festival in Southern California, which is one of the top international festivals. So we're absolutely... I didn't even tell Colm yet.
So, now you know.
You hear it on there. So we're absolutely delighted.
Brilliant.
And thrilled at that.
Well, fair play to you all. It is happening tonight, the airing of the show, the feature version of the documentary series here in New Ross at the Kennedy Summer School. Brianna Ní Iarmhithe, Colm MacInumra and Eamon Hoare, thanks a million for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.